Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
As you're no doubt aware by now, over the course of the general election campaign, we're hearing from all of the leaders of the political parties who are vying for your vote on Friday. We continue today with AIM2 leader Pather Tobin is here, candidate in the Meath West constituency, and you're welcome to the programme. This Operation Shamrock plan that you have for financial incentives to get people back to Ireland, and you mentioned Gardaí and nurses and construction workers, you're saying that AIM2 want to build specific accommodation for these people who would come back to Ireland. So how would that work and how quickly could you do it?
Yeah, so everybody knows that we're at a loss in terms of staff in a range of different services in this country. And everybody knows that so many young Irish people have voted with their feet and have gone to Australia and Canada. Many of them want to come home. And I think this Christmas, many of those tables will have empty seats around them. I think many families will want to see them home. So the government have already shown that they can build accommodation in terms of an emergency situation such as the migration situation. One of the also exemptions that exists in current planning law is the exemption to build homes for construction workers, but it's very actually seldom used. So in terms of the construction industry, I'm being told by builders that they can't get staff or that the staffing levels are pushing the prices up of the labour costs. So what we want to do is for the government to actually, in certain areas, look at government land and say, OK, we're going to use the planning exemption to get these buildings built fast
so that these individuals can come home. So are you talking about sort of temporary, quick build structures where you'd be saying to a nurse in Canada who has a lovely life, come back here now and we'll put you in this wooden thing?
No, we're talking about if we can build permanent houses, we will build permanent houses. But we would consider building modular homes in these situations as well. Modular homes that are very, very comfortable that will last 30, 40, 50 years.
But you don't, and these are what you don't want an aim to are foreign workers coming here.
No.
I mean, you want to limit the number of foreign workers who come here work.
It's very important that we make ourselves clear in this. AIM2 is a pluralist Republican political party. We believe that everybody here, first of all, who is a citizen and is here legally, should be treated equally and with respect. And we also believe that the colour of a person's skin is of no more significance than the colour of their eyes.
But that's not
what
I said
to
you. You did say at your manifesto launch that there should be a reduction both in the number of asylum seekers and foreign-born people on work permits.
No, again, we didn't use the word foreign-born in that scenario. What we said is that there is a question in terms of work permits. Now, absolutely, we welcome people coming in here into this country on work permits. They're making a fantastic contribution on a range of different issues. We just think that in terms of issuing work permits, when local authorities are coming to us saying now people on work permits are presenting as homeless, do we need to actually say to ourselves, you know, how many work permits do we need to deliver on an annual basis? There are people coming in for tech companies, for ICT companies, and for pharma companies currently, who are obviously contributing to the country in terms of corporation taxes and taxes, I agree. But we also have a situation of 500,000 adults who are currently living with their parents. So all we're simply saying is that resources and numbers coming in should actually match.
So you're saying there are people applying and being given work permits to come to Ireland from other countries
who are homeless now in this country.
And are not working, is that what you're saying?
No, they are working, but they're homeless. They're local authorities can't actually provide them with a home.
So you're not objecting to as many foreign workers coming in here on permits as we need?
What I'm saying is in terms of, you know, the core frontline jobs such as nursing and nursing homes and doctors, etc. Absolutely, we need to fill those jobs
with workers who are from
any part of the world, for sure, and who are coming here legally with work permits. But we're saying, though, that there are other workers who are not essential workers who are also coming in here at the moment, and they are ending up homeless. Now, is there a logic to that? In the end of the day, when you have 500,000 adults who are living with their parents.
But why aren't you saying build those homes that you just described for the Irish people who would come back? Why aren't you saying build those homes for those people?
Well, I do think we have a responsibility to provide homes for Irish citizens. I do think that is a responsibility that we have. I don't think it's necessarily a responsibility of this country to provide homes for individuals.
But it's a very strange argument, Pather. You're saying to people, yes, we need these workers coming in. Let's give them the work permits. Now, some of them are ending up homeless.
Yeah,
what we should do instead of housing those people is we should invite Irish people in to take the jobs and build homes for them.
Let's be very clear. I have stated that people should be given work permits to come into the country for essential work. And I've said that we should help Irish workers come home for essential work. We know that there are gaps within our employment services for that. What I'm clearly saying is there is non-essential work happening currently in this country as well, and that is putting significant pressure on. So all I'm saying is that the available resources for accommodation should be orientated towards essential workers, whether they're Irish or whether they're not.
Listen, another thing you've said is this border agency you want to see to manage the flow of people through ports, but also over the land border with the north, with Northern Ireland. So effectively, are you looking for a border on the island of Ireland?
So it's either or, okay? It's either a land border in Ireland, north and south, or it's a sea border. Mm-hmm. So we all learned about this during the whole Brexit situation, whereby we learned that we couldn't actually control the land border north and south. So we came to a resolution that for goods, there should be an Irish sea border. Now, obviously, I'm an Irish Republican. I want to see Irish unity. I do want to see Ireland's north and south being treated as a unitary state, and not just for romantic reasons, but also because I do believe that it's actually the best, if most efficient way to manage your country. So if we have managed to persuade the British to accept a Irish sea border for goods, I think at the very least that we need to actually discuss with the British the need for an Irish sea border for people. And I'll tell you why. Because when I put questions on the minister in relation to how many people have been deported, the minister can't tell me. And she says that they can't check. And the reason they can't check is, she said, because there's a border with Britain at the moment.
Okay.
And the only way we can actually gets to a solution there is to make sure there's an Irish sea border. It would be in Britain's interest too to be able to control the flow of people from both islands.
We're coming close to the end, but you say you've differentiated your party significantly. You're targeting 10 seats across the country. You did have a row with the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin, though, calling his party an empty, hollow husk and easier to direct. Now, he's ruled out going into government with you. And I just wonder, if you are saying to your voters that we can make a difference, have you shot yourself in the foot there?
Well, first of all, there is a wave of support coming towards AIM2. There's no doubt about that. We're hearing it at the doors. We're seeing it in the polls. And we have made a difference. And the impact of a vote for AIM2 is a significantly bigger impact for a vote, I believe, than any other political party. In terms of Micheál Martin, what we've said is that, you know, Fianna Fáil used to stand for housing. They used to stand for farmers. They used to stand for regional and rural Ireland. Those core values are no longer in the leadership at the moment of Fianna Fáil.
But if you want to be in government, if you're saying to your voters a vote for AIM2 is a vote for government and a vote for power, you're not doing a good fist of it.
Micheál Martin stated categorically that there's no way he'd go into government with Fine Gael before the last election. Secondly, any leader who would put his bruised ego before discussions for the common good is not a leader that's actually focusing on what people need. And if Micheál wants a hug...
Heather, you're not building bridges here.
Are you
saying that you don't want to talk to Micheál Martin? Or are you saying that Asher, he'll talk to me anyway after the election if he needs to?
What I'm saying is that the issues of housing, of healthcare, of the absolute incineration of people's money in terms of the waste that's happening in this country, of the fact that we have a city state where people are commuting from Connacht, Ulster and Munster into Dublin on a daily basis. These issues are bigger than Micheál Martin's ego, is what I'm saying.
All right, we have to leave it there. Padraig Tobin, AIM2 leader, thank you for coming in. We'll take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.